We have a lot to be thankful for this morning. Thankful that our brother Dan has survived a very serious crash and, Lord willing, will be headed out of the hospital tomorrow. Hope he continues to improve. Others have struggled with COVID over the past few weeks. I could go start naming names. I think the Caden and Macy Abbott returned from trip or got COVID while they were on the trip. And so they were among the recoverers. Josh and Taya and Lauren and family still have some, and others. It's an ongoing battle. But you know what? We're thankful that we have medications. We're thankful that we survive and go forward. We're thankful that in Jesus Christ, we know that we don't live for this day and this hour and this year, but for eternity. The question is, are we really doing that? Are we playing church, or are we living by faith? Why are we here this morning? To be built up in the most holy faith, to worship God, to honor Him, or in some way to placate ourselves or somebody else for less than godly reasons? I hope and only hope that every one of us are here to praise God, to turn our attention to Him, to turn our attention to His Word, and to not be like those people that of which Mike just read, who had no room in their hearts for the Word of Jesus. In fact, they were serving the devil. And of course, that's what the devil wanted. And that's what we're going to study this morning, is what the devil wants. If the devil wants you, the devil wants me. He wants the whole world. But I appreciate that Tyler has chosen the songs that he did because they fit exactly with what we have to study this morning and say from God's Word today. And so with those bookends of song of praise and worship, let's give attention to God's Word now and our lives before Him as we contemplate what the devil wants and whether or not we have given ourselves to the devil and his desires rather than to God and what he wants of us in our lives. Of course, we're very familiar with the passage in Ephesians 6 from which the song was taken a moment ago, which says we wrestle against the devil. We are in a struggle against the devil. You know, the idea of wrestling was that the contest between two to try to throw the opponent and put your hand on his neck. That was the idea. It wasn't, you know, shoulders to the mat, one tooth. Oh, he got free. Nothing like that. It's not an entertainment session. It's a real spiritual struggle, a real fight that we have to take extremely seriously because our souls are at stake. Put on the whole armor of God, the apostle wrote, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks and schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the forces or rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual realm in which we do this battle, where we have this wrestling match with the father of lies. He's the source of every lie. Just mark it down. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And so when we don't give room in our hearts to hear truth, we are following the devil. When there's no place in our heart to listen to the word of Jesus and believe his truth, what is truth, and to live that truth. Make no mistake, the devil's winning the wrestling match. Now, the Bible says that he doesn't have to gain that advantage because we're not ignorant of his devices. God's Word has taught us, has revealed to us his tricks and schemes. How he slanders, how he lies, how he deceives. It's there for us, but the question is, will we make room in our heart to receive it and then to change our lives
to be in harmony with truth. That's the call of faith that each of us have. Because you see, just like the wrestler, have you ever watched a real wrestling match? the Olympics or something like that? The wrestlers are trying not only to gain the advantage, but to anticipate the next move, to counter that, to overcome that, and to be victorious. You know, Christians are not to be milquetoast Christians. We're to have some backbone. We're to be aggressive with truth in our lives, as well as trying to help others with that truth. The Lord has given us the tools. He calls us to faith so that we can put our foot on the neck of the devil. Romans 16 and verse 20 uses this figure. Look at that verse. Romans 16, 20 says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Now there's a vivid description. The God of peace is going to smash Satan under you. That means you and I have something to say about that. Will we put our foot on Satan's neck so that the God of peace prevails? Or will we let the false peace of the devil crush our neck and destroy our souls? What does the devil want? What does the devil want so that we can counter it? You see, the devil wants lies where there should be truth. That's the most obvious point of John 8th chapter that we just read together in John 8:44. Did you look at that verse? It says that he does not stand in the truth. There's nothing truth about the devil. He doesn't stand there. Of course, God's Word is truth. And that's the point that Jesus is expanding in this text. God's Word is truth, but more than that even, Jesus is saying, "My Word is truth." He was trying to present to them that they had to follow His Word. John 8:31, "If you abide in My Word, you'll be My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth,
and the truth will make you free." You see, what Jesus says is truth. And that truth will free us from sin.
But now the question is, will I accept and believe and follow? Will I listen to that truth? In 37 and 38, "I know that you're Abraham's descendants," because they were arguing with Jesus. You know, that's not a very enviable place to be, but we find ourselves there sometimes too. We argue with Jesus. They were arguing with Jesus. He said, "I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." The devil doesn't want Jesus' word to have a place in you. He said, "I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do not, and you do what you've seen with your father."
They were without truth. There's
not truth in them.
They were doing what the devil was wanting them to do. Well, if the devil wants lies, and we want to fight the devil, then we're going to have to start hearing and receiving and living by truth. Not a hard concept, but it's a call of faith and responsibility that we have before God. May I add to that the idea specifically of just being honest?
Honesty is a mark of that truth that Jesus calls us to and that His Word is. "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth," that passage says, but verse 25 in Ephesians 4 also says, "Therefore put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." The temptation not to tell the truth is one that the world is not going to help us overcome. Remember, He's the God of this world. He's got the world in its lies. But because we know that, we can live in a way that He doesn't gain an advantage over us.
And so when we sing about and we talk about the armor of God, look what that says. It says, gird your waist with truth. Ephesians 6:14. That is, equip yourself, gird yourself, put on the belt, cinch up your waist with truth, with the Word of Jesus, with integrity and honesty, with what His Word says. Let that define the course of conduct. The devil doesn't want truth. He wants lies. He lives in lies. He doesn't stand in truth in any way. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Well, now, again, the Scriptures say that the devil wants darkness where there ought to be light. He wants darkness. I drove in early this morning. There's a lot of fog this morning. And, of course, the headlights help. But, you know, you put the headlights on light, that doesn't always help, does it? So you keep them on low and you see better. Jesus gives just the right amount of light, just the right light for us to see our way. But the devil doesn't want that. He wants us to be in darkness. He wants us maybe to be in, if not darkness, in a perpetual gray, you know. Everything's gray. You know, but no, see, there's no truth in Him. Truth isn't gray. Truth shines light. And He wants darkness. Go to 2 Corinthians and see that with me in verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, the Word of God says, even if our gospel is veiled, now there's the source of light, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that's the devil, has blinded. The devil has blinded minds who do not believe. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. Why? Lest, that is, unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The devil does not want the light of the gospel to shine on unbelievers. He wants to keep them in darkness. And if you've been enlightened, he wants to turn you back to the darkness. Remember Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 5. Those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and of the powers of the age to come, then fall away. He says it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. So just to say, well, now I'm a Christian. Christians can turn back to the darkness. The devil, that's what he wants. Light, the light of truth in this world exposes the evil of this world. Jesus is the light of the world. In Him was light, John 1 says, and the light was the life of men. He brought light into the world. And what happened? Well, John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Here's our wrestling match with the devil. We may even know what the light is. We may know where that light switch is. But you see, the devil wants us to stay in the darkness. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who's practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Kind of shameful for the light to expose the sin, the evil. So stay in the darkness. Stay in the shadows. Start deceiving, right? Not in truth, not in light. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. Now, if the devil wants us to stay in darkness, what does Jesus teach us to do? He teaches us to come to the light. How do we do that? We do the truth. We obey the truth. He who does the truth comes to the light. What's the truth? It's the words of Jesus, John 8. My words, He said, will set you free. The devil doesn't want you anywhere near this Word. And if you get near the Word, he wants to distort it any way he can, so that in fact what you think is light is in fact darkness. Still.
We're to walk as children of light.
We were once darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, but now walk as children of light. Here's the practicing, not of evil.
Don't practice evil. They hate the light. Don't come to the light. But children of the light, practice the truth. That's what it means to walk in the light, is to practice the truth. So, what is that armor that's going to help us? Put our hand on Satan's neck, crush him under our feet, or God, crush him under our feet. Well, we need to shod our feet with the gospel of peace.
And again, the irony and the paradox there, the gospel of peace brings us at peace with God, but it puts us at war with the devil. And more on that in a minute. We're in this battle, in this wrestling match. But the God of peace gives us a gospel of peace so that we can be at peace with God and at peace with ourselves.
Whether or not we'll ever be at peace with someone else, and those who are driven by the darkness, who live in the darkness and won't, and follow lies, we're not going to be at peace with them. They condemn Jesus because of that too. But you see,
the devil doesn't want us to equip ourselves with the gospel. Or he wants us to just think, well, I know enough. I don't really need any more.
Keep us in those shades of gray. Keep us away from the light. We know what he's up to. We need to get ourselves to the Word of God and practice that truth. Be doers of that Word. Walk in the light. The devil, as I said before, he wants a place to stand where he should be given no place to stand. He doesn't stand in truth. So if we're going to be children of the light, if we're going to walk in truth, then he won't have a place to stand. That the terminology of Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, give no place to the devil. Give no opportunity. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him an occasion. I believe that today, even as in the days of Job, he is walking to and fro upon the earth. That was his work then. That's his work now. He, as the God of this world, is looking for every advantage in every heart, in every life that's under this roof right now. He is looking, probing, seeking his opportunity. God's Word says give him no opportunity. His context there was to put away lying. Speak truth. If I lie, I've given him a place to stand. If I am angry and let the sun go down on my wrath, he says, I've given him a place to stand. I've given him an opportunity. He wants you and me just like he wanted Peter. You remember Peter? Jesus said, Peter,
Satan's asked for you that he can sift you like wheat. Now, we might lose sight of what that means, but let's grab hold of it. The idea of sifting the wheat is separating the chaff, the waste, from the seed so that it's scattered, you know, and they would
throw it up in the air, the wind would blow the chaff away. And you'd have the wheat. But he wants
to just scrub you and eliminate you. He wants to eliminate your effectiveness. He wants to eliminate your influence. He wants to destroy your life. That's what he wants. Do you hear him? He's talking about me and he's talking about you. That's what he wants to do to us. He wants to crush us so that we're nothing but dust.
Destroyed from any effective life in service to God. He wants us to lose our souls forevermore. Now, we have a say in the matter. Don't give him a place to stand. Instead, stand in the faith.
1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 says, stand fast in the faith. Verse says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be strong, be brave.
Take your stand. As therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him.
Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Are you walking in the Lord? He says, as you received Him, now walk in Him. Rooted and grounded, built up in your faith. As you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.
See, we've got to every day decide not to give the devil a place by deciding we're going to live by faith. We're going to trust God and do His will. And so, the armor of God says, taking up the shield of faith.
The shield of faith protects us against the fiery darts of the evil one.
We're on his shooting range. He's throwing darts at us. Arrows. Trying to pierce us through with sin. Oh, maybe just a nick here, a little bit there. Before you know it,
you're mortally wounded. That's what he wants. He wants to just destroy us. Don't give him an opportunity.
Don't give him a place to stand. Don't be confident in yourself that you don't have to worry about the devil. Because if you're confident in yourself that you don't have to worry about the devil, my friend, the devil's already got you.
He's already deceived you.
Because that concept is not true. That's not truth. Well, the devil wants confusion
where there should be order. Our God is not the God of confusion, but of peace, right? 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. Remember, there was some confusion in that congregation. But he says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order.
God wanted orderliness among His people, and that's true as a principle to life itself.
The idea of confusion is instability and disorder, disturbance and chaos.
If he can embed within us that we have a right to cause chaos, the devil's latched onto us. If we're convinced that whenever there's some instability going on,
it's always somebody else's fault and never my fault. I don't bear any responsibility and I don't accept that or take accountability to that.
The devil's already got us where he wants us. We can change that. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to change our heart. We're going to have to come back to recognize that heaven's wisdom removes disturbances. And that God calls us to be wise in our lives, not to produce disturbance, but to remove it.
Look at that in James 3, 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom."
You know what? To cause chaos is really the opposite of meekness. To cause confusion, disturbance, disorder,
that's not wise. That's not understanding. What is it? Verse 17. Here's what we need to be. This is the attribute to not let the devil get his way in this matter of our lives and the lives of others in our lives. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I haven't always made peace in my life. Sometimes I've been the instigator of turmoil, and that's a sin, and I repent before God and praise forgiveness. Has it been so with you? I expect most of us at one point or another in our lives have done that. You see, that's what the devil wants. But more than that, he wants us, he tries to convince us that it's always somebody else. It's not you, Joe. You're not really the instigator. Oh, you have different intentions. While you destroy and bring upheaval. Oh, you people just don't understand you like they should. And if they would understand you, everything would be okay. That's how the devil works. Now, are we going to be ignorant of his device? We're going to say, just deal with it. That's the way I am. That's who I am. Just accept it. No. You want to let the devil rule? Take that attitude. That's not wise. That's foolish. That's foolish. Heaven's wisdom removes disturbances by first of all making things right between ourselves and God. And then with that peace, being peaceable and meek toward others. On the other hand, that text, James 3:14-16, here's the devil's wisdom, which is foolishness. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. I think that essentially says, don't sit there and tell me that you love the truth. Don't sit there and say that truth is everything to you. If you're going to have bitter envy and selfish ambition, that's the wisdom not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Verse 15. For where envy and self-seeking is, confusion and every evil thing are there. The devil wants that confusion. He wants that disorder. He wants that spiritual chaos. And he wants that in your home. He wants that in every relationship you have. He wants to have that on your job, with your neighbors, with your parents, with your children, with your husband and wife, with your brother or sister in Christ. Everywhere, he wants confusion instead of the orderliness of heavenly wisdom. So, what are we going to do about it? Well, the breastplate of righteousness equips us to combat this desire of the devil. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, integrity and virtue, purity in mind, recognizing when we sin and repenting of it, correcting it, giving ourselves to better conduct, correcting our thinking, our feeling, our acting, to be upright before God and among men. We don't have to let the devil have his way. We can be ordered by righteousness as God seeks and expects of us as His children. You know, the devil wants peace where there ought to be war. Now that's an odd thing. You think, well, I would think the devil would always want war. Well, think with me a minute. Jeremiah 6 and verse 14. Here he speaks of false prophets and priests who deal falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You see, the devil wanted the people to think everything was okay when it certainly was not okay. Now, after all, who likes war? We want peace. But not peace at all costs. No. The Bible says that we are at war against the devil, against sin, against error, against evil. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:3. Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We are at war. The devil says, oh no, no, you're not at war, Christian. Everybody get along. Be ecumenical. Be accepting. Be tolerant. But he says, those are carnal weapons. Back in the day of Israel, the days of Jeremiah and Judah. Peace, peace.
when there was no peace. The false prophets spoke from their own hearts.
The priests did not serve the will of God for the people. They certainly weren't teaching them the law. The devil is having his way. But we're at war to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
You see, Jesus taught that there's
a separating power of truth. He came to bring division. Luke 12:51 said, to divide us from sin and evil, to separate us from the world. Separate us from the world. We don't want to live separated. We don't want to be seen as odd. We don't want to be seen as different. We want to be accepted. Hey, you know, TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. I want to be accepted. I want people to like me. I want to be friend. Whatever it is these days, I don't know. Well, you see, Jesus said, don't think I came to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword.
The devil always wants peace where there ought to be war. A warfare, 2 Corinthians 10 said. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to take up the whole armor of God. Did God want David to go at war,
be at war with Goliath?
Absolutely. Tried to put on Saul's armor and it didn't fit. See, that's the problem. We try to put on the world's armor to fight against the devil, and it's just his armor that we're trying to put on and be a Christian. We want to be part of the world and part of the army of God. Now we've got to put on the whole armor of God to stand against. To withstand and to stand, that verse says. To withstand in the day of calamity, the day of evil. And having done all, to stand. He wants peace where there ought to be war, but you know, he also wants war where there ought to be peace.
That's the other side of that coin. James 4 verse 1 says, why or where do wars and fightings come? Think about this a minute. James 4 verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Parent, child, brother, sister, wife and husband, Christian and Christian. Where do fights come? Where do conflicts arise? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? They don't come from God. They come from the devil.
He wants that war. He wants conflict and strife among kindred.
Abram said to Lot, Let there be no strife
between me and you and your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brethren. But the devil wants conflict
between brethren. He wants strife between the parent and the child and the parent. That's what he wants. Is he having his way with you? He wants conflict between the husband and the wife. Or the wife and the husband. What about that? Could that be said of our marriages? He wants conflict, strife. He wants ongoing agitation between neighbors.
Even between nations. So what will we do? Will we take the truth of God within our heart and go to the person where there's conflict? Maybe it's a parent or maybe it's a child, a brother or a sister, a Christian.
Will we take truth in our heart and seek godly resolution?
Will we bring meekness and peaceableness to bear upon the situation? Or will the devil have his way? Keep the conflict stirring. Keep it going. That's going to be our decision. It's going to be your decision. But God urges us, take the step to be of the same mind,
to give ourselves to peaceful living Romans 12. Remember, John, there, beginning in verse 16, he says to be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know what that may mean? That may mean I need to reassess my trigger points. You know what that is? That's where we convince ourselves that it's okay to have a trigger reaction because somebody else pulled the trigger on me. Is that the level of self-control or lack of it that we think God expects of us? You know, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So rather than saying, well, you know, he just hit one of my trigger points and I just let loose. Whoa, wait a minute. The fruit of the Spirit, one of them is self-control. So really, that's the devil's trigger point to convince us that you know, it's just legitimate somehow or another. The devil wants war. Can we see that? We know that. Oh, we know it. But to control our emotions, see, that's a test of faith. To control our reactions and be proactive in what is good, that's a test of faith. That's a call to faith. To not give the devil place. So, Ephesians 6:18 said, we need to pray with watchful perseverance. We need prayer to help us overcome these things. You know, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, get that. If we're praying for ourselves and we're praying for others, then it becomes easier for us to replace war with peace and to be a peacemaker than a war perpetuator. Well, time's getting away from me here. The devil wants senselessness where we ought to come to our senses. We need to come to our senses by knowing truth. You see, we can get so ingrained in the sins that error presents that we refuse to repent. That text tells us we need to learn and know the truth so we can walk carefully. And he says that to serve God in a way to try to help others come to correction and escape the snare of the devil. Because the devil wants to keep us ensnared in senselessness rather than the come to our senses by following his truth. Note the phrase is know the truth. It's not my senses that makes it true. It's God's Word that is the truth. And I'm to conform my thinking, my senses to it. So, put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head. If we're consumed with the fact that we are saved in Christ and to live in that salvation, then we are protected against the senselessness of sin and error that destroys our souls. The devil wants tolerance where there should be resistance, doesn't he? James 4 and verse 7, be subject to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, his context teaches us humility resists worldliness. Remember, he started that in verse 1. He talks about being a friend of the world, being an enemy of God, verse 4. And he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil. We don't resist the devil by tolerating arrogancy in ourselves. That perpetuates resistance to God and doing the will of the devil. Now, the devil wants us to tolerate ungodliness. He wants to, rather than us walk in the faith. Whom withstand or resist steadfast in the faith? 1 Peter 5:9 says. Not in opinions, in the faith, the gospel. That's what we're to contend earnestly for. And so the Scripture says, be strong in the Lord
and the strength of His might. The strength comes from God's truth, God's Word in our hearts, in our lives. The devil wants us to tolerate sin rather than resist it. It's a matter of humility before God to do His will. Brethren, we are in a battle. We're in a wrestling match. Our opponent is cunning, he's crafty, he's deceptive, he's powerful. And we should never underestimate that he is always probing, he's always looking, he's going to and fro on the earth trying to find his advantage over us every day. He wants us to surrender. And yet we must stand. We must stand by taking the armor of God, trusting His strength to do His will and to have victory. You see, we had to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17, and allow it to shape and to mold our hearts and our lives. Let it cut us to the heart and then repent to do God's will. Take it as that defensive and really forward weapon that we need to aggressively fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Because there is victory in Jesus. We're about to sing the song, Victory in Jesus. This is the victory that's overcome the world. Our faith, 1 John 5:4 says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Victory. The scene of victory is in Revelation 12. And there are three things there that gives victory over Satan then and over him still through Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ, the Word of God, and self-denial. They overcame him, that is, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Christ's blood, His testimony that we commit ourselves to in faith and denying ourselves even to the point of death, that's victory. Will we have victory, or will Satan have what he wants? The call of the gospel is to come out of the clutches of Satan, come out of the bondage and death of sin. By faith, repent of our sins. Confess Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized into His death for His blood to wash your sins away and to be added to His church and to serve Him rather than the devil. If that's your need, we urge you to use this opportunity to be saved in Christ, to respond to the call as God's people, as Christians, to turn away from every darkness, every sin, come to the light, be restored through repentance and confession, to stand justified before God with Him and His Son and His people. Father, together we stand and sing. Won't you come?